Yeah, but I know who I am. I'm Mike McGlathrey, so we'll go from there, okay? Now, to get the full impact of the study, I'd like you to take a piece of blank piece of paper and number along the left side of it, top to bottom, 1 to 36, and so that you, you know, don't get them run out of space, you can divide it in half and do 1 to 18 and divide that in half and half, so it would be in quarters, 1 to 9, 10 to 18, 19 to, what would it be, 27, I think, and then 28 to 36. So you have room for each of the numbers, each 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, for a comment, just a brief comment. Let's read the verse, 1 Corinthians 1:24, that is written in, that was written, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians was written in the Acts 19 time period. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Well, who does it say was being called in the Acts 19 time period when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 1:24? Who does it say? Them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. So next to number 19 on your sheet of paper, write the words both Jews and Greeks. Okay. Now let's take a look at these two verses, Ephesians 3:8 and 3:9, and they were written after Acts 28, after the end of the Acts period, when Paul wrote some of his post-Acts epistles. Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So, with those verses in mind, by the time that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, this Ephesian epistle, was he still preaching synagogue to synagogue among the Jews and the Greeks? Or had Christ sent Paul to preach among the Gentiles to all men? That's the choice. I should preach, going back to verse 8, Ephesians 3:8, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, in verse 9. So, in the space below number 28 on your sheet of paper, write, among the Gentiles to all men. And that was from the time he wrote Ephesians, and it continues on today. With those two facts in mind, did Paul write the 1 Corinthian epistle before he wrote Ephesians, the Ephesian epistle to the Ephesians? That should be obvious that, yes, he did write 1 Corinthians before he wrote Ephesians. Let's look at two more verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:17 and Ephesians 3, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And later on in Paul's life, in Ephesians, that would be after the end of Acts, as we saw, Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So then, Paul, did he write that there had been a dispensation of the gospel before the first mention, that there had come a come to be a dispensation of the grace of God. In the earlier book, 1 Corinthians, he talks about a dispensation of the gospel being committed to him. Later on, it is in Ephesians that he talks about a dispensation of the grace of God. So the answer is yes. Look more closely at this passage of verses that follows here. Well, it's the two verses. 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. And what gospel did Paul say he was referring to when he mentioned the dispensation of the gospel? What gospel is that he's talking about? For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he's talking about a specific gospel called the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the gospel that saves us. At that time, there were qualifications on it. There were conditions on it. Look at the verse that's written in Acts 20, the Acts 20 time period, the book of Romans, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's power to save people. What are the qualifications? To everyone that believeth? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In Romans 1:16, does Paul tell that the gospel of Christ is to the Jew first, and also to the Greek? Well, that's what I read. That's what the words say. So I would say yes. Because Romans was most probably written in Acts 20, verse 3, next to number 20 on your paper, write the words to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The numbers that you listed in the left column obviously represent the chapter numbers in the book of Acts. And we're filling in what the topic is in each of the chapters that we're handling anyway. Gospel means good news. After the end of Acts, Paul wrote the epistle to Titus, in which he said, in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hath appeared to all men. What good news does Paul say brought salvation to all men? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The answer? The grace of God was that good news or that gospel. In Titus 2:11, after the end of Acts, to whom did that good news or gospel of the grace of God appear? The answer would be, it appeared, in the words of the verse, to all men. So on your paper that you're filling out, or following, if you've downloaded the filled out version, on your paper in the space to the left, on the left, after number 28, because this is after the end of Acts, write the words to all men. Even though later on, in the dispensation of the grace of God, Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God to all men, let's now, for a while, let's look earlier, before the end of Acts, to see if it confirms that in the dispensation of the gospel, Paul is only reported to have been sent to preach the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks. Or did he have a wider sending at that time? Remember that we're only looking for who it was that Paul was sent to. That's what we're looking for. Okay, the goal. We're not looking for who Paul was restricted from preaching to. That's a different issue. You can see there is a small section that handles that in the Bible. Acts 16 verses 6 and 7 and 1 Peter 1 verse 1. When you take them together, you realize Paul was only restricted from preaching the gospel of Christ in places where Peter's kingdom group was or would come to preach the gospel of the circumcision to Jews and about the Jews. Look at those verses. Acts 16 verse 6. We'll read 6 and 7, and then we'll jump to 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Acts 16, 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden. This is talking about Paul in one of his journeys. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That would be what we call Asia Minor, the province in Turkey there, not the whole continent of Asia. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So if you look at 1 Peter 1, 1, we see a hint or a reason, whichever it's the strongest hint that we have about why the Holy Ghost didn't want Peter to go into those regions. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who's he writing to? He's writing to the 12 tribes, but especially the ones that were scattered. Strangers, out of the land, in other words. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia. Where did I hear that? And that was one of the regions that Paul was forbidden to go to. Peter had a work going on in Galatia and Cappadocia. In Asia, that's another place where Paul was prohibited. And in Bithynia. So the Spirit suffered them not to go into Bithynia. Just briefly before we get back, I'll take a little side trip here. Two verses, 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother, now this is Peter writing, our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Well, you can't both say that Paul wrote to Peter's group and also say that Paul only wrote to the body of Christ. So how did that happen? Why is he saying that Paul wrote? Well, Paul wrote a general letter to a group of churches in the area of Galatia. And some of those letters apparently got into the hands of the circumcision, and they read what Paul had said in what we call Galatians, the book of Galatians, or the letter to the churches in Galatia. And so it's listed in both places there, in Acts 16, 6, that Paul was forbidden to go there, and in 1 Peter 1, 1, that Peter had a work going on there. He was writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So let's go back to our trail that we were following here. In the Bible, we're going to look at Acts 9, verse 20, and we're going to see who Paul preached to and what he preached. Give you a hint, he starts out preaching the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is, not about salvation, but about the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Verse 20 in Acts 20, Acts 19, pardon me. Acts 19, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So in other words, he took a stand that Jesus was not a fake. Jesus should not have been crucified, in other words. Acts 9:22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. This is the actual Messiah, in other words. Who did Saul confound by proving that this is very Christ? The verse 22 says it was the Jews. The Jews. He was still preaching to the Jews, or even at that early time when he first got saved earlier in that chapter there in verse 6, Acts 9, 6. So, on your paper, next to number 9, write the words, the Jews. Let's go on further into Acts in chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And you remember Paul charged many of the body of Christ churches to do that, to send money to the church, Israel's church there, the little flock church in Jerusalem, had given up everything to bring in the kingdom, and the leaders of Israel rejected the kingdom, and so they were left destitute, and the Lord provided for them as he promised he would through the body of Christ churches at that time. And that's what you see going on here. The disciples, every man according to his ability, this would be in a body of Christ church, they determined to send relief unto the brethren, that would be the little flock which dwelt in Judea. Verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders. So the little flock church of Israel there, church of God, had elders. We know from the Old Testament that Israel, the nation of Israel, had elders, and by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, so that's how they sent it to him. But the point is, to whom did the new Antioch Christians send relief and aid? It said, the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So on your paper, next to number 11, this was in chapter 11, write the words, the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And that's Jews, not Gentiles. That would be the Jews. Turn to Acts 13, verse 26. We'll see several things here in this chapter. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Why does he specify this salvation? Why didn't he just say, to you is the word of salvation sent? Because he's specifying which salvation. Is he talking about the circumcision gospel or the uncircumcision gospel? Paul preached only the gospel of the uncircumcision. So, in this address, in Antioch of Pisidia, it says, children of the stock of Abraham. So, descendants of Abraham, that would be the Jews. And you that fear God. Well, besides the Jews then, there were some there that did fear God. And if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So, they had Gentiles in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. Gentiles that wanted to come to God through Israel, through the covenants that God made with Israel. I will bless them that bless thee. Now, that's one thing we have to take into account, that Paul was talking to Jew blessing Gentiles. Other places later on, especially in Paul's writings or in Acts after this, they're called Greeks. So you've got Jews and Greeks. In Acts 13 still, but down in verse 46, look how Paul, how definite he is about whether it was optional or was it necessary that his new word of God should first have been spoken to those, the stock of children of the stock of Abraham, and you that fear God, in the synagogue there in Antioch of Pisidia. Was it optional or was it necessary? Well, here's the verse. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. To you. And who was the you? We'll get back to that. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So on your paper, next to number 13, write the words necessary first to you, children of Abraham, children of the stock of Abraham, and ye that fear God. That's a long statement. Well, that's probably the longest one that we've got here. Necessary first to you, children of the stock of Abraham, and you that fear God. That's next to number 13. So, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, and the you would be mentioned back in verse 26 in the same address that Paul was making, children of the stock of Abraham and you that fear God. Going on down in the toward the middle of that sermon or message that Paul delivered to the synagogue, actually, not supposed to, they didn't like, you know, they would throw you out of the synagogue if you started talking about Jesus being the Messiah. And a few places where Paul went, they gave him a little more leeway, a few weeks or a few Sabbath days meetings to talk about it in. Let's look at these revealing verses in Acts 13, verse 40 and 41. It's from that same meeting. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wander and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Well, let's go through these two verses in detail. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you. Do you know what a precipice is? Israel had lapsed into being accustomed to abusing God's mercy toward them. Paul is giving them a unique admonition to those individual Israelites in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Even though Israel had already fallen, Paul tells that they are on the precipice of an impending danger, as, you know, the other foot's about to drop. Paul knew, he knew about Isaiah 8, verses 14 and 15, that after Israel stumbled at the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ at the cross, afterwards, Israel then fell, committing their unforgivable sin by speaking against the Holy Ghost in stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. But Paul also knew that in, you know, Isaiah 8:15 said that after Israel's stumbling and their fall, Israel, that's when came Israel's being broken and snared and taken. it got worse and worse. I mean, the mercy had run out. Well, long earlier. No, he had mercy for much longer than you or I would have had, but it did run out then. Isaiah 8:15. Let's read the verse. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. So Paul admonishes this assembly, synagogue, behold ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. For I work a work in your days. God may have run out of mercy toward Israel for a while, but he was just starting to offer a new pattern of grace to all those who, after Paul, believe on Christ to life everlasting. And it says hereafter, after Paul, in the verse. That's 1 Timothy 1:16. That work is not the mystery of Christ only revealed to Paul, or else it would not have been mentioned in the Old Testament. The work, that particular work that he's talking about that he will do, has nothing to do with the body of Christ. It is all about Israelites and offering individual, late-believing Jews the choice to believe the facts that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, raised from the dead, the very things that Israel fell short on, that made them fall as a nation. We know it's all about Israel because rather than being kept secret, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Look at Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. That work involved moving Israel to jealousy. The devout Greeks had a part in that, and provoking them with a foolish nation. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. They were prophesied. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. In this, the next verse, immediately after Paul's admonishment of the Jews in Acts 13, in other words, verse 42, those Gentiles that were there that had heard Paul in the synagogue, which are not a specific people like Israel, they could have been any nationality or a group of several nationalities making up those Gentiles in the synagogue, they blessed Israel, but they're not a nation like Israel. Later on in the next chapter, starting in the next chapter, they're called the Greeks. The Greeks were not a nationality. They were not. It doesn't refer to people from Greece. It refers to people that follow the 300-year-old Greek Empire culture of seeking wisdom and knowledge and learning, universities and schools and libraries. That's what the Greeks were about. And in the Bible, most of them, except for one that I know of, one reference that I know of, the rest of them are all about seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God. And where did they find it? In the synagogues, kept in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, kept in the synagogues. But going back to Acts 13:42, besought that these words might be preached preached to them the next Sabbath. That's the Gentiles' view. They wanted to hear it again. And in verse 45, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Well, they were moved to jealousy, as Deuteronomy 32, verse 21 had prophesied. And we'll close with the reading of the verse. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And to those apostate Jews in the synagogues, the little flock nation that the kingdom was given to, was foolish. Turns out that the apostate Jews were acting foolishly. But that's where we'll stop for today and try to finish it tomorrow then. Any comments or questions? So when you're done, you know, hang on to that paper. We'll finish filling it out tomorrow. And when we're done, we'll see something. It'll show. It'll show. Well, we'll save that for tomorrow.